Warning, this episode contains swearing.
Like shit.
It also contains poop. It contains a story about pooping. If you don't want to hear that, then you probably should wait for tomorrow when we actually have Transformers things to talk about.
No, please listen to this.
Okay, yeah, do listen.
Yeah, just
listen. We had a lot of fun recording this.
This was a great episode.
Yeah. Why aren't you listening to it, you jerk?
Yeah, listen to it. It's going to start in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, in a minute? Minute.
About 25 seconds or so.
Yeah, I love Chris Vangelis. Damn it! What the fuck's going on down there?
You gotta do one a day.
That's true.
One
a day.
One a day like a vitamin.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what this podcast is.
Centrum Z.
Hi, welcome everyone.
Hello.
I'm gonna use all that.
Okay.
Alright, cool.
Really?
Maybe I'll trim off the first few seconds.
Okay, trim off the fat.
I'll make it nice and pretty.
Yeah, use the cream from the butter.
That's right. Cream rises from the butter to the
top.
Frappuccino.
There's this story about these two mice. No, I can't even.
Why would you put butter in a frappuccino?
People do that?
I don't think so. I just.
You know what, though? I love butter. So if I put in a frappuccino, I'm
sure
it
should work.
Good.
It should work.
You know what, though? Is the butter salted or sweetened? Add
all that up. Hmm. I'd say unsalted. I don't. Well, okay, I heard salt can work with coffee.
Mm hmm.
But I've never tried it.
You know what? We should try it.
Salted butter and coffee?
Yeah, let's be daring.
Well, we are in America.
Yeah, we're in San Diego, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what? I got a story. So I came through customs, right?
Yeah.
We do it on the Toronto side now.
Okay.
And I said, hi, I'm going to a sci-fi and toy convention.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Sorry. Let me interrupt. Wait, you do the customs in Canada before you fly to America?
In Toronto Airport, they changed the setup because it makes it easier for connections.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. That way all the lines are done before you get on a plane. Then when you connect, you don't have to worry about going through customs again.
Okay, but then what if you go through customs and you miss your flight?
Then things get tricky. You gotta get there early enough. They're like, get there an hour and a half before your flight if you're going to the States. You have
really?
Enough time.
Yeah. I mean, I know here in America, I know this, I'm going on a wild tangent here, but in America...
You never do that.
Yeah, never. When I flew to Korea at LAX... I did go through customs in the beginning, but I had to go through customs again when I got there. So
that actually happened a couple times when Toronto started implementing this, in my recollection. Only it wasn't Toronto, sorry, it was Vancouver. Because when Vancouver got the Olympics, they also upscaled their airport operations.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I went through customs on Toronto's side, and I said, hi, what are you doing in San Diego? I'm like, oh, I'm going to a sci-fi and toy convention.
Mm-hmm.
I find saying that is more clear than saying, I'm going to BotCon.
Right.
Because then they're like, what's that? Transformers convention. And most laymen, will go like, why is there only a convention for Transformers?
Right.
So I like to just lay it out nice and generally, right?
Sure.
The guy processes me, and then as I'm picking up my thing, he's like, so what are you going to dress up as? And I look at him, I'm like, I'm not a cosplayer.
Oh, you should be.
And I was like, I just used the word cosplayer with an officer of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Is that a secret word for terrorist?
I don't know.
Oh.
So I was like, should I have just used that, it's not like internet-only slang, but cosplayer is still a word that only certain circles are going to even understand.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I just used a weird word with someone who could deny me entry to a country.
Yeah.
And I just went and kept on going on my way, but that kind of stuck with me.
When you went through customs, did you opt to go through a full body scan?
You don't have to.
You don't have, but did you?
No.
So you didn't?
Nope, I just walked up.
And you said no.
Well, no, they didn't ask me.
What?
Yeah, and can't you don't have to.
Oh, man. I just want to see you. I just want to imagine you standing inside that booth, that cryogenic booth, sticking your arms up.
Oh, you mean where you do that thing?
Yeah. And then
I didn't do that coming over here. I've done that at other airports where that's part of security, though, not customs.
Oh,
like, they've had, I've been to airports that had that instead of a metal scanner.
Uh-huh.
You just go up and you go, like, assume the position.
Yeah.
And I've always gone, like, I always get worried that I'm not doing it right. Because I'm like, what if my arms are at the wrong angle? Like, are they going to get mad?
Oh.
Because there's a silhouette right there.
Right.
And they're like, you have to do it exactly like this. And I'm
just
like
the Japanese game show?
Well, if I'm really tired, right, I'm kind of like, huh. And then they do it, and I'm like, I wonder if they're mad at me, because I was all limp-wristing this. And...
No, I'm at a point where I'm super jaded. I'm just like,
yeah.
And I do, like, a Lady Gaga thing.
What?
Yeah, why?
Why?
I have another travel story, but I want to ask you.
Yes.
Because you didn't fly.
No, I didn't.
How was your trip down to BotCon?
My trip down to BotCon was very stressful, I will say. Because, A, I went to sleep at 3 in the morning because, you know, I got to do my laundry, pack, da-da-da-da-da. And, B, I woke up at 5:30 this morning thinking that I had to... Well, no, I had to drive here, basically, from L.A. I'm from L.A. And San Diego is normally a two-hour, like, 1.5 to 2-hour drive. So I assumed, okay, well, I have plenty of time. As long as I shower and get ready by 6:30, then I'll be fine. I didn't take into account that there was going to be traffic.
Yeah, sometimes there is traffic on the road.
And not only that, the only reason why I had to come this morning by 9 was because I was enrolled for the customization class.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that sheet of paper, before I saw this paper, I was like, okay, if it's anything like the TFCon customization class, you just roll in anytime you want almost.
Yeah.
Right? Here it says, you better be there by 9:15 or we're going to shut the doors and you can't sit. I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay. So I'm like, okay, no more breakfast for me. I'm just going to drive. And boom, traffic. So, I don't know. I was driving. I was like, I'm not going to make this. I tweeted BotCon. I was like, hey, BotCon, here's a picture of my GPS saying this is how long it's going to take me. And is it cool if I'm late? Please advise. And then everyone else is giving me advice on traffic directions and da da da. And you know what? Even after all that speeding and potential accident situations, I got here at 9:40, and they didn't give two shits. They just let me in.
Yeah.
I was like, God, frickin' damn. Okay. And what's even worse, sorry to keep going, is I found out today, I mean, I probably would have known this earlier had I paid attention to registration shit, that I could have just bought the figure pre-made, which is...
Well, that was the funny thing when I met up with you, like, you know, right more or less after you'd finished that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I got the thing in the package where I'm going to get that just built.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, just built. You're going to get it built.
Yeah, you're going to get it built.
The little glimmer of violence in your eye. And
the entire time, I was like, man, this sucks. Oh, what's with all this drilling? And you know,
and I was telling Andy, like, had I known he'd signed up for the customization class, I could have given him, because I think it's a cool experience, but you need to know going into it that it is literally like there are going to be it's a lot easier now than it was in 07 when I did it,
right?
But there are still going to be aspects of it which are way harder than you might think because you're building it from scratch. Where, as opposed to taking apart a built transformer.
Oh, is that what you guys did for that overkill? You took apart a built transformer?
Oh, no, we were the first class to get spruce.
Spruce, right?
As far as I know.
Mm.
And so what happened is the class was built around the idea that we were going to take apart an existing transformer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we had, as I told you, we had the self-threading screws issue, which became a thing. But yeah, since you're building it from, you know, basically a kit, there are aspects of it which are not kit-friendly, which is not always clear. Until you're actually in the class. That's why I think the class is a good experience, because you get to kind of know what it's like being on the assembly line. Gives you some more respect for the, you know, the 8-year-olds who are building our toys. But, you know, you got to know that going in. Otherwise, you might be really disappointed. You mentioned there were some people kind of wigging out a little bit just to how hard it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what it is you're sitting there with natural, quote-unquote, lighting. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I stare at something close enough, my eyes start twitching, and because I've only gotten so many hours of sleep, it's just very difficult.
I couldn't imagine doing a custom class on 2 hours of sleep. That'd be like, all right, I got a little bit of sleep, I'm going to this vacation thing, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta sit down and do grind work.
Yeah. and not only are you literally doing manual labor, but everyone around you is just like clanging things with like little pliers, and you're just hearing all these noises. It's not fun. It's really not fun. No one's telling jokes. I'm sitting there trying to talk to people, but I sat next to some kid who is a voice actor, quote-unquote voice actor, whatever, and he was just saying strange things with strange voices. I'm like, what is wrong with these people?
You got another thing about the custom class.
Yeah.
And it's hard because the you know, it sells out faster than anything else.
Yeah.
But if you can get in there with a buddy, it's a much different experience.
Because
when I went in, I believe D-Fuzz was in my custom class, along with other people, but I specifically remember D-Fuzz was there. And so we were able to kind of go like, so hey, what's up? You know, as we're sitting there, you know, bleary-eyed on, like, hour 7 of this custom class.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the first one, and so, the first one this fellow had run. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the timeline also got just janked, and it was an 8-hour, 9-hour experience.
Yeah. No, that probably was a lot more entertaining than my class. I mean, my class was...
You need a buddy. You need a buddy.
Yeah, mine was Tony Prado. It was Orson from Captured Prey, and it was Megamus.
And Tony Prado, that guy's business.
Oh, straight up business.
Yeah, it's all business. You're like, hey, Tony, he's like, how much is it? Oh, sorry, what?
I have a lot to say, but I will not say it because
I've never actually talked to Tony Prado, so I'm talking
about
him.
He's in the room.
I know. I think I've talked to him once or twice, but I never had a conversation where we'd both walk away going, like, we just had a conversation.
Yeah.
I just kind of, he's become like a punchline for me because I've been to so many BotCons. Like, you hear his name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you
he's the guy.
The running gag is like, you know, was it Fumihiko or Fumihiro? I forgot which name. I think it's Fumihiro.
Uh-huh.
He brings like some crazy, like, number 1 of 10 lucky draw toy from a magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't even want to tell anyone the price. He's like, it's just too expensive. And then when it's gone, you just go, like, Tony Prado bought it.
Yeah.
He probably did.
Of course.
That BotCon where Tony Prado's collection was on display in the middle of the room.
Uh-huh.
Overnight, between Friday and Saturday, suddenly 8 new items had appeared on there that used to be on the Japanese guy's table. And I was like, oh, this is the Tony Prado method.
Yeah, well, I know what he did. I remember hearing one time that some of his items were overpriced on purpose because they were just part of his collection. He just kind of wanted to show it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And if someone were to buy it at that price, of course he's going
to
sell it.
And I talked to, I think I mentioned last BotCon when we were recording these, I talked to a guy who had the Action Master Elites. And he told me basically, he said, like, I don't want to sell these. So I've priced them at a ludicrous price. And if someone's going to pay me that, then I will sell
them. Was that last year? I thought that was 2 years ago.
I think it was last year and the year before.
Yeah, that's all
he came back.
Merging together
as
one BotCon experience. I don't know. All I know is, at the end of the day, the custom class figure, I kind of like.
It's Blast Charge.
Yeah, Blast Charge.
I saw some poo-pooing of it, but honestly, that's the thing I want to see out of a custom class. Most people don't like Blast Charge.
Mm-hmm.
Making it out of Strika is great because there's the long-running thing where people can never tell the two apart.
Yeah.
I like the Blast Charge toy more than the Strika toy, actually, from back in the day.
I actually never owned that one.
Blast Charge is interesting. He's got this weird thing of, like, stacking wheels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he looks weird, but it's a cool idea. I like that way more than, like, hey, we're going to make Minerva the custom class figure.
Right.
We're gonna make G2 Sideswipe the figure. It's Blast Charge. There's going to be a small audience who love him, and, of course, that means some people are going to be bummed out, but a small audience who love him and a huge majority of people who are like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because that, I think, is the recipe for a good BotCon toy. Debatably, of course.
Yeah.
It's something where a small number of people are going to be like, yeah! And not like a tiny number, but, you know, a couple hundred people are going to be like, yeah! And a couple thousand people are going to be like, I guess?
Yeah, but for those people that are like, yeah! The good thing, or not good thing, maybe the smartest thing that FunPub did is they turned it into, fiction-wise, it's technically Blast Charge, Strike a Drone. So these are all essentially troop builders.
Yeah, that's the Brian Savage method. He's caught on that the troop builder thing works on us.
Yeah.
Which I am trying to stay aware of because I'm like, well, now that you know,
bastard,
I'm not as interested in them because I feel like if the rumor is true that the troop builder this year is the classic Seeker mold, then it's like, I don't care. I'll get one set. I'm not going to troop. The last mold I need to troop build in 2013 is the classic Seeker mold.
Do you want me to tell you what it is? I have good insight on what it is.
Insight?
Yeah. Should I say it or should I not?
Well, I mean, we're going to know tomorrow. We should hold off the surprise till tomorrow.
Oh, okay. No, I won't say it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a rumor passing around, right?
Yeah, as a rumor.
To me, that's not acting on the scenario properly, because what worked about previous troop builders that I have bought 6 of, you know, 2 sets of 3, the Sharktacons.
It's a
great, unique mold, right? Hardly ever used, perfect repaint, and there are tons of them.
Yep.
The Auto Troopers, similar thing.
Good idea.
Those two, I think, are possibly the best troop builders they've done.
Oh, no, I like the Junkions.
The Junkions were really good, too.
Yeah.
And the Junkions, I mean, the Junkions I think, were the last ones where they were inadvertently kind of cool.
Yeah.
But they didn't push it as far, because the Auto Troopers and the Sharktacons, and arguably the Sweeps,
yeah,
push it really well.
Of course.
Really hard.
Of course.
The Junkions, you got to be invested in that side of the fiction.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they look cool.
Yeah. With each other. Conceptually, and not good.
The Junkions, I think, were built less for buying en masse. They were built for buying twice, because they can ride themselves. So you buy one trio for robots, one trio for bikes. That's where the smarts are.
Yeah, or if you're a toy arena, you could buy 100 of them.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that worries, that kind of worries me, especially, you know, seeing the blast charge thing going, and the whole crux of a lot of the G2, because I like the ideas in the G2 fiction they're doing, you know, as unpopular as that can be to say in our circles, you know, there's cool ideas in there, but those ideas also revolve around the word clone, which is very... It's a cool idea that can be abused horrifically. That's why the Troop Builder this year I'm very curious about, because I think it's going to show what it is pretty up front. If it is clearly just we need to make something they're going to want to buy twice, I feel I'm going to be less interested in it. If there's severe creativity in it, then I'm going to be more interested.
If... my prediction, not prediction, if the rumors and what I hear and what I quote-unquote know is true, I wouldn't say it's creative, but I will say you will want at least one set.
Well, one set is fine.
Yeah, I mean, one set, I mean, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing, I mean, is like, it's gonna be, do I want one set, or is it creative enough that I want two sets? That's the thing.
I don't think so, dude.
Yeah, I got a feeling,
Yeah, I mean, you have a good... I think you know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the rumors have been bouncing around all over the place, so yeah. I don't need to say them, because we're going to know tomorrow, so there's no point speculating in here, but...
Is this going
to
go up tonight?
Yeah.
Oh!
See, that's what I'm telling you. You got to lean away from the mic.
I got to lean away from the mic. I'm learning.
That's what...
I'm learning.
When I record... I'm a little podcast, let's remember. When I record, I usually watch my waveform. That's how I also know if I'm spiking. Because if I've been talking like this a whole lot and I look, I'm like, oh God, I'm hitting the ceiling. I'm like, okay, I'm going to come back here. And then if I come back here and it's too quiet, I pump it up a little bit and now it starts hitting the top. I don't know.
Now I know.
I have another travel story.
Oh, yeah. Tell it.
Okay, well, two little stories. Number one, I actually slept before this trip. Usually when I travel, I don't sleep.
Oh, okay.
For some reason.
Okay.
But I had a really good idea because, number one, my roommate stays up really late. And number two, I had some West Coast relatives who gave me the idea. They're like, you should just take a 2-3 hour nap, and then we'll call you at 3 a.m. your time.
Yeah.
Because it was like midnight, and I was going to get a cab at 6.
Uh-huh.
So I actually got 2.5 hours of sleep, woke up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Finished packing, had a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's the most relaxed I've ever been before traveling in my entire life.
Grown-ass man now.
Most relaxed I've ever been before a trip. I got to do that more often. Because also, Mr. Jacoby, I told him basically, I was like, are you going to be up at 3:30 or 4? He's like, of course I am. I'm going to be drawing until like 6. So I was like, okay, at 3:30 or 4... if my light is off and my door is closed, I need you to bang on my door.
And stick your wiener in my mouth.
Well, that part went unspoken, but...
It's like, duh.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the escalating plan. If banging on the door doesn't wake me up, I mean, you got to move, you're going to move up from there.
Sure.
Personally, I think more about poop on the chest, but...
Cleveland Steamer.
Well, you know, it's... Cleveland Steamer. You know, that way you're not having too much... If someone has, like, a flu or something, or they got the common flu...
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't want to have, like, you know, epidermal touch, because that's going to pass, you know...
Clears the sinuses at the same time because of the rising steam, like vapor rub up through your nose.
Any kids listening, don't poop on people.
Okay?
But poop is where my next story is going.
Yes.
So,
yes.
It's been years since I've used an airplane washroom, right?
Really? I pee on planes all the time.
I don't like those little cubicles.
Oh, yeah, they're really tight.
On this flight, I didn't have to just pee.
Oh, you had to dump.
I had to dump. Oh, and I was sitting there. I was sitting there for a full hour, just going like, "Is this the kind of not in the washroom in my chair?" Yeah. part of my intestine came out.
Hello.
So I was sitting there for a full hour, just kind of going like, "Is this the kind of thing where I can ignore it and it'll go away like a wave?" But this time I was like, "No, I really gotta. I don't want to use that." But then I thought about it. I was like, most people kind of don't want to sit down on a toilet in an airplane.
Really?
I
don't even think about it. I just wipe that down and sit.
I wipe it down, of course. Yeah. But I was like, so even when I went in there, I kind of looked at it for a second. And I was like,
no, don't ever.
Oh, no, I did. Because I was like, I got to know. So I open, I look, and I'm like, that's untouched. It's pristine. Oh. I wiped it off even, but I was like, no one is, I went to the back washroom as well. Everyone was going to the middle washroom. So I was like, I think I'm the first one in here.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's do this. I haven't done this in years. So pull my pants down. And I realized like, this is too small. So there's a handle on the side, right? And I always thought that was for people. But I was like, so the handle on the side of the wall, you do need that. Because if you try to just sit down in that tiny washroom, you're going to lose your balance in like 2 seconds. You're like, oh! I grabbed the thing.
A little bit of turbulence.
Yeah, I grabbed the thing. Yeah. And get my pants down to my knees. I don't want my pants wiping all over the floor.
Oh, no. God,
so I'm like holding my pants at knee level because I'm like, I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want to be picking up scunge off this floor.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, just lever myself down. God. Now, here's the beautiful thing.
Yes.
The sheer amount of physical tension I was exerting trying to do all this meant it was the smoothest exertion of waste.
Really?
Because I was so tense everywhere trying to just get in position on the toilet that everything just kind of, it slid out. I was done in like 2 seconds. I was like, that was really satisfying.
This is why WTF at TFW needs to be a video podcast. You guys missed out on the greatest visual.
The greatest mime act.
Yeah.
No, that was fantastic. Watching Chris just sit there. I mean, Evangelist just sit there with his arms doing whatever. But no, I mean, here's my question to this story. And this might be a plot hole.
Okay.
Because for me, I don't know if I can grab two different things at once. Because I don't know if it's habit, but I always take one hand and I hold
this is the tricky part.
Keener down.
Okay, so holding the belt, right? Holding the waistline, laying myself down, and I was so bemused by what's happening. I'm like, I look down and I'm like, wait, I do need a third arm. And I actually, I just sat there for a second and I just started laughing. I was like, this is the stupidest. And you know, I don't usually walk around telling me like, I'm going to tell you a story about how I pooped.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is the silliest thing I've done in years.
Oh yeah.
Trying to use it. So I'm like, all right, now that I'm in position here, I'm going to widen my legs.
Yes.
So the tension will hold my pants up.
Oh yeah.
Remove.
There you go.
Aim so I don't, you know, shoot a stream straight forward into the door
or into your socks.
Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. So I get it all there. I'm like, all right, now because I know what you mean. You know, you gotta push it down. So I'm like. Now, and as I said, the sheer amount of physical tension trying to hold all this stuff in position meant that, you know, the intestinal tension happened with, like, I didn't have to think. I was all I had to think was the word go. And it was just like, bam. I'm like, well, wow. I guess I'm done.
Did it come out like butter? Like we said?
That's not an explicit podcast. I'm just going to leave that.
Sorry.
Mean, we've been keeping it unexplicit this whole time. So,
see, I love going into detail when it comes to number twos.
Oh, I mean.
And.
I don't
remember. I just need to know.
I don't remember if it was butter-like, but...
Because once again, another tangent, but I saw this video where...
Video.
There's a dude...
Always starting... I saw this video, there's a dude.
And there's an octopus involved, electrocution. No.
He sits on a bottle.
Yeah. He sits on a toilet, but he squats on a box in front of him. So apparently humans are not naturally meant to sit on a toilet-like thing. They're supposed to squat and poop. Mm. So if you simulate that, you almost don't even ever have to wipe.
That actually happened to me when I was in Japan, and there was a hole-in-the-floor toilet I used.
What?
Where I had to, just the same, I had to use bars and things to... Because I've never used a hole-in-the-floor.
Right,
so
right.
I'm like... what is aiming in this scenario? So
like
I'm just
pilot
like,
wings.
Yeah, I'm just holding on to everything. I've got like one leg up on the wall where I'm just, because I didn't even fit in this little tiny stall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and like, as I said, you know, the sheer amount of physical exertion going on, I'm just like, I was like, oh man, and I got to sit here waiting for all this to finish.
Right.
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
All right.
And wipe?
Yeah, just.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here promoting people. Try to make yourself tremendously uncomfortable before using the washroom.
Yeah.
But if you're in that scenario and you can you just got to stay calm. You just got to stay in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Just don't panic, because panicking is how bad things will happen.
Mm.
And it can work out. This but is... I mean, and I don't know what that says about, you know, the amount of activity going on at BotCon today that I want to talk about how I went and pooped on an airplane. But,
this is the most informative Transformers podcast ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wanted to share that story somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, listeners, if you've ever had a similar experience in a tiny stall on an airplane, on a train even, this is the thread to share those stories. No one's going to judge you.
Because I'm so invested in this poop story,
Let me ask one question. Another question.
Sure.
Which leg of the flight was it? Was it the Toronto to LAX flight, or was it the LAX to San Diego?
Toronto to LAX, the long one.
So the long one.
Yeah.
See, if it was a short one.
If it was a short one, I would have just waited to the airport.
You would have held it.
Yeah, I would have, because that was only a one-hour flight. That's where I'm just like, I can tell myself, you know, psychologically, I'm going to be in a building soon with a stall that's not the size of my golf bag. And
or like a little bucket.
Like when I was sitting there, I was like bending the sidewall because my knee was poking.
I can't even imagine you fitting inside that door.
I was, you're a big boy.
I was just like, you know, this
Chris, a big boy.
And well, this is the thing. I was thinking, another thing I was thinking about. I'm like, I'm kind of big, but I'm not as big as a lot of other big people.
I'm not talking about that big. You're big.
Well, yeah, I'm wide, right? Yeah. But there are, you know, there are fat people.
Sure.
And I'm like,
yeah, what are they gonna do?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, if me, with my meager gut, you know, and my large shoulders,
like
am having
player.
This much, you know, this much trouble,
yeah,
what about the poor people who have, like, you know, the thick legs? Like, imagine someone with thick thighs, right? Thick thighs. I'd be like, what do you do? Because where does the seat end and where does you start?
I guess they do BotCon through internet websites.
Or, you know, take a train or drive or something. Yeah. Anyway, the thing I also want to say, man, airplanes.
Yeah.
It's like they figured out the technology to make stuff shrink so slow that you can't even notice.
Yeah.
Because, like, I almost want to say a washroom cubicle that small with a sink in it and everything, I almost want to say that's not safe.
It's
Do you know what the hardest part was? Everything what? I just described was the easy part. The hard part? Getting up.
Getting up?
Yeah.
Because putting your pants on?
Yeah. There's no room. Because getting your pants off, you just have to go click, zip, and gravity helps you, right?
Yeah.
Gravity will start sliding that down your legs. Uh-huh. When you actually have to pull that up, and you don't want to pull it up in a way where it's going to, you know, bump into the quote-unquote porcelain that. You know, you don't want to start wiping your pants on the edge of things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no room. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to do that. You're trying to zip up. Even, like, trying to wipe. You know, like, the toilet paper's
the wiping
over here.
Is terrible.
You have, like, luckily, I was a fencer. I have flexibility.
Yep.
So I can, like, turn my waist like this. I can arch backwards. You know, I can.
Graceful.
That's right.
Yeah.
I can deal with it, but I'm sitting there, again, I'm sitting there just thinking of, because, you know, especially in America, there are wider people.
Oh, of course.
And, like, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying this is some kind of, like, you know, fat people kind of thing. I'm just sitting there, and the first thing I think of with airplanes is Kevin Smith and his story, right? Of the flight where they threw him off.
Educate me, I don't know this story.
He bought two seats because he likes to buy two seats.
Yeah.
And they basically said, you're too fat to fly on this plane, get off. And he went on Twitter and basically shared the story, and it became a thing for a little while.
Really?
And Kevin Smith isn't really a fat guy. This is him, well, I mean, he's portly. But,
I don't know. I've seen him in person. He's pretty big.
Yeah, but it's like 2 years ago. This isn't, you know, when he was in the depths of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm sitting there again, and I was just thinking, like, this washroom is not built for anyone who's even remotely, like, not even obese. Just someone who might themselves say, I'm kind of fat, you know? If you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of fat, this, I mean, I was feeling kind of almost self-righteous. I was like, I want to write a letter.
Like, here's a question. Another question based on what you told me. Did you put your underwear on at the same time as your pants in one go, or did you do your underwear first and then your pants?
Due to the nature of how crowded it was, I'm going to say 1.5 goes.
Whoa!
I pulled both as far as they went, then slid the underpants and pulled the pants.
So no crinklage.
Nope.
Oh, perfect.
Well, I mean, I have nice underpants.
Hmm. Fancy that.
Yeah, that's about how much I'm going to share.
Yeah.
It's
a Transformers podcast, guys.
That's right. So anyway, that's our poop cast.
Yeah.
What else?
The poop cast.
I get to LAX.
Yes.
I forgot. So I get to LAX. People there are very friendly. If you ask someone what to do, they'll tell you very clearly. But if you're too timid to ask, you get there, you have a connecting flight. I didn't know there were 7 terminals at LAX.
Oh,
with
six.
Seven,
yeah.
Yeah, seven, and then 7 turns into 8 if you're at the gate I was at.
Oh, really? There's an 8 terminal?
8 is like this, like, hump on top of 7.
What?
Yeah.
That's new to me.
You have to walk to get to 8 through 7.
Okay.
And I didn't know there's, like, a bus system and stuff. Anyway, the moral of this story is always just ask.
Yes.
Walk up to someone, say, I have a connecting flight, I came from Canada, this is my boarding pass, where do I go?
Yeah.
They'll be able to tell you, because it's actually by airline.
Yeah, they should tell you right at the gate anyways, like right when you get off the plane.
The you know, like the screens and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They only listed the flights for the terminal that you're in.
Really?
So I arrived in Terminal 3.
That's true.
And my flight was in Terminal 7.
Oh,
there was nothing
shit
on the screens telling me how to get anywhere.
So I'm surprised you had enough time to get there anyways.
I had an hour and a half. Oh. So it was just enough time. It was just enough time.
Yeah, so if you're at Terminal 3 going to Terminal 7, it's just literally across the parking lot area. So
yeah, I just had to jump on the bus, wait for like, you know, 10 minutes. And it was fine. But yeah. Yeah, LAX, bear that in mind. You know, travelers who might be going there. There's a bus system. There's 8 terminals, 7 that you have to worry about. And, you know, that's, so I got on a plane, you know, 1 hour flight getting to San Diego, and then just jump on the so for some reason, it's just like it's following me around. Everything, I make people's lives difficult. So then I try to get on a shuttle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I call this hotel, and I'm like, hey, do you guys have a courtesy car? They're like, no, but we use the super shuttle. It should be $11.
Sure.
So I walk across the street, and I saw a super shuttle right there. The blue one. Yeah. So I was like, hey, super shuttle. They told me, this place told me I should get a super shuttle. I'm waving my paper.
Yeah.
My imaginary paper, I'm waving it at Andy right now.
Yeah,
So the guy calls the super shuttle in. Because this one was just driving off. I was like, that's fine. I can wait a bit. Uh-huh. You know, if it's a shuttle, you know, it'll be nice and I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Because Andy had kindly offered to give me a ride, but my phone was at like 2% battery. So I was like, I don't want to start communicating and have my phone die.
Right.
So I get on there and then the guy's like, so what's your confirmation number? I'm like, oh, you mean my reservation number? He's like, no, your confirmation number. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, how did you get on here? And I was like, I called the hotel and they told me to use a super shuttle. So I talked to the man over there and he called you for me.
Yeah.
And that's all I could say. I was like, that's all that happened.
Sure.
So the guy, actually, this guy was great. This guy called his supervisor to work me into they had a tablet basically with a computer system for reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So he had me hacked into the reservation system. Then he asked me, what did they quote you? I said $11. He had to do another lengthy phone call to get my charge changed from $20 to $11.
Whoa.
So I don't know how to tip very well, but I was like, out of $11, I'll tip him $3. That's like 30%. I mean that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe I would have given him $5.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, make it 14. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, technically, it was going to originally be a $21 flight or drive, but then at the same time, it was really supposed to be 11.
Well, I was not supposed to know about the $20, but I overheard him on the phone. That's my little secret.
Either way, you got off with a steal. That's a good price.
Yeah, it was a nice drive.
And then now that you're here at the wonderful San Diego Town and Country Resort.
It's a resort.
Think? Yeah.
It's a resort. Yeah. This hotel, I'm someone who can get cynical about Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I think this hotel is not quite as bad as some people have been letting on.
Mm-hmm.
But I've come to understand that the different towers can be quite different from one another.
Yeah.
And it seems like if you get a bad roll of the dice, you're going to end up in a room where you're like, how the hell does this cost over $100 a night?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you feel. I think that this room looks fine.
Yeah, we're not going to say which building Chris is staying in, but this room is real nice.
Yeah.
We walked over to the other one. Not so nice, I would say.
I guess, yeah, where Captured Prey was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed more crowded almost.
It's just like...
I mean,
smelly.
Ignoring the fact that it was a parts party, so there was tons of stuff everywhere.
It's nice and cool in here.
Well, yeah, I figured out how to turn the fan on.
There's a nice painting of a creepy child in the corner.
Yes, there's a painting of a creepy little 8-year-old that stares at the bed.
Yeah, staring at me.
Yeah, and she has a look on her face of like, I know what you want to do, but you can't do that because I'm staring at you.
This just makes me think of the picture of Dorian Gray. This is secretly... the representation or the manifestation of a creepy woman who's... I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's kind of unsettling, and I didn't notice it for the first hour and a half.
This picture?
No, because basically when I got to this room, I was like... You know, listeners are probably going to have noticed I put up 2 podcasts after I got here.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to get those podcasts done. Whenever a progress bar is happening, I'm just going to lie down and stare at the ceiling and happily decompress.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a couple hours, I was like, Then I looked up. And I literally made eye contact with this painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Jesus.
Oh, I'm getting the chills looking at it right now. It's the black eyes.
Yeah.
You know what, though, Chris? Evangelist Chris, whatever.
Doesn't...
Look.
Hey, guys. Spoiler alert. Sometimes my name is Chris.
Oh, shoot. I keep forgetting. Real life. Whatever. Anyways.
I've mixed it on here a million times anyway.
I hope to God you take plenty of vitamins this year, because every year that I've gone to BotCon, which is this is my 5th one now, you've gotten sick.
Yeah.
Deathly sick.
Well, okay, I'm going to say 2011, that's the sickest I've ever been in a BotCon.
Was that the bloody nose one?
That was the bloody nose, that was the, my Saturday was me staring glazedly in the panel room with my legs up.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got that sick.
There was one where you left early on one day and you just chilled in the hotel.
That was 2011.
Oh, that was the same?
Oh. 2011 is the sickest I've ever... Yeah.
Oh, it was Pasadena, but you were staying at a different hotel, right?
No, not...
I think it was... must have been...
That would be 2009, right? 2009.
Maybe
no, 2009 I was in the attached hotel, I'm pretty sure.
Either way. Tomato.
2011 was the sickest I've ever been, for sure.
You were not feeling good.
Yeah, I remember being really sick. The thing is, I was just kind of sick a week ago, so I want to think I'm on the up.
Yeah, your annual quota might be done.
Yeah, thanks BotCon for scheduling it this weekend
cross
and not
finger
last weekend.
And knock on wood.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, I'm still gonna be careful. Today is not a day I'm gonna get sick because I'm not shaking hands. It's once more people show up. Mm-hmm. Once people start greeting each other, shaking hands. Podcast listeners might want to say thanks for the podcast or something. They might want to say, hey, you asshole, you should stop making that podcast. It makes my life suck.
Mm. Has that ever happened?
Not yet, but I got a feeling, odds. There's always the odds it will happen. And I roll the dice every time I come to a convention.
My favorite memory is walking down on a BotCon convention floor with you one time, and these two kids were so nervous talking to you, and they really wanted a picture with you. And then one of the guys was like, "Can I get a hug?" And these weren't kids, actually. They were more like high school, young college adults.
High school is kids. I mean, there's a difference between high school and like 8-year-old, but
yeah. But no, it was so endearing and cute, and I was like, "Oh, that's so cute. That's so cute. I like it.
It's touching."
Yeah.
It's less weird now that we've been doing this for a couple years.
A couple. So what, 5 years now?
Oh yeah, that's next week.
Oh.
Next week is our week after next is our 5 year.
Oh my gosh, you're going to do something
2 weeks
crazy
from now. I always think I should, but I don't want to put all I'm working like one and a half jobs, and
or should have Gog Dog come back.
Man, I found out Gog can't make it to TFCon.
What?
Cuz he's doing a move and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
he it's just not going to line up.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Seth's going? No.
Did you not hear? No, people are going to TFCon, but yeah. Seth has been screwed over. Every single convention, this one included, he's not been able to get those specific days off.
Oh, for work.
Yeah. Even the thing he's done for almost a year straight,
the
boat trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't get those days off either. This year has been treating Seth like crap.
Oh, man. I wish he was here because he would do a good Brian Savage impression.
Oh, man. I heard Brian Savage had trouble checking in. That's the...
Did he really?
I don't know. I heard that on the grapevine.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
It's weird because it's like he runs the show.
Mm-hmm.
Does the showrunner have trouble checking in? That was in the... I think that was in the thread about this hotel. I will say, this hotel, now that I'm here... it's better than I had been led to believe. I'm not going to say it's the best hotel I've been to. Mm-hmm. There have been better.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of like the layout of this because it's multiple buildings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of being outside.
Yeah.
And San Diego at this time of year is not a bad climate to be
perfect.
Outside.
It's practically perfect.
It's not Disneyland. Or sorry, Disney World.
So do you like the fact that it's spread out and we're not going to be very congested in terms of running into people outside of the showroom floor?
I got to see how things are on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we have the real numbers here. Because the other thing I'm not sure about is it going to become inconvenient to get from my room to the convention floor?
Mm.
Because now that we've found out, it sounds like the convention floor is on the opposite end of...
Yeah, that's what I told you originally.
Yeah, yeah.
It's far, man.
Yeah.
And besides the location of the convention floor, the hotel bar/restaurant is still a little ways, too.
Mm.
So... I don't know how this is all going to pan out.
Yeah, and as for bumping into people,
yeah.
The thing I'm hoping is that we all end up taking the same paths to get places. Because
mm-hmm.
When I was wandering over here from the check-in lobby, they offered to give me a ride, and I was like, no, I want to walk. I want to
really?
See what this place looks like. Because
yeah.
they have little golf carts,
basically. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not, 80 yet. I don't need someone to golf cart me somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking around. There were actually quite a few nice little, where paths cross.
Mm-hmm.
They, have a big circle of brick with a couple benches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, courtyard area.
Yeah, I was like, these look like great places to just sit down and take a breather.
Mm.
Like, especially if the weather stays nice.
Does that also mean you're a little gay? I don't know why I said that. Maybe. It's like real pleasant.
Yeah.
If I had a date, you know what? We should go on a date. I proposed to Vangelis earlier today outside of the other hotel building. If you look outside of the main entrance, there's this little awning area, or not an awning, it's a straight brick walkway with lambs romantically paired up trailing this trail. And I said, hey, Vangelis, let's hold hands and walk down this trail. And he said, no.
Well, the thing is, my girlfriend, like, cuts things into tiny slices and puts them on slides for a living. And I only worry about your safety.
Well, fine.
Like, I heard a rumor that they've, you know, they've cut up things bigger than insects there. Like,
oh,
you know, and not cut into chunks, like carefully slice into, you know, like a cold cut.
I'm sorry, Grant, I'm not trying to steal anybody.
It's too late. She's gonna...
No!
You're gonna wake up one day, coated in paraffin.
Hey, I always wake up... It was a good night's sleep if I wake up coated in paraffin.
I go in the shower with a smile on my face and feeling a satisfaction on my back for wake up coated in paraffin.
Happens once in a blue moon.
Man, this is what happens when no one gets to Bacon on Wednesday.
I know.
This is what happens when Sol Fury doesn't answer his phone when I call.
Hey, this was a pleasant conversation. That's all I know.
Yeah, it was. We talked about poop.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to actually record an explicit warning for the start of this.
No, really? No,
that's what I usually
do. Swear.
You swore like 14 times.
Did I?
Yeah, I even wrote down a few.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
And now you're saying shoot.
Dress. Fudge nuggets. Wiener schnitzel.
Primarily, in fact, at the 5-minute mark, the 6-minute mark, and the 6:20 mark.
Oh, my Lord. Look, what it is today is just the first day. Only the convention class happened. Or convention. The customization class happened. The tour happened. Not really much in BotCon news.
I've done this before with BotCon podcasts. I don't want to edit them. I don't want to sit there cutting through them. We just recorded a little warning at the start. Mm. And, you know, hopefully that clues people in enough. Also, I figure that the sheer amount of time we put into talking about taking a crap on an airplane might be worth, you know, just notifying at the header.
Sure.
Because I don't think it's nasty, but I've heard people say they had trouble with us when we were talking about, like, a cut someone had on their hand.
Are you serious?
I'm not sure if it was a cut. We were talking about something to such a degree that we got a response of that made me feel kind of physically ill listening to it for so long. Because some people will have a very vivid mental picture of what you're talking about. That happened to me once. I was listening to Smodcast, and they talked about this video they watched on RedTube.
Yeah.
The guy sits on a bottle, and the bottle explodes in his...
Yeah,
and the way they described it, I actually started feeling physically ill.
Oh,
just the specific words used and the way my mental picture was filling it in, and that I have trouble with the visual of glass shards in skin.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
especially that skin.
Oh, I turned the podcast off.
That's because you could relate to that feeling, right? No.
I like how cordially you presented. Well, that's happened to you, hasn't
it? Yeah, it hasn't happened to me. Something similar, but no, I don't want to deviate too much. If you want to listen to this kind of stuff, you should listen to my podcast. No,
what is your podcast? You can plug it. You're
my podcast? Yeah. My podcast is The Andy and Harrison Show featuring Harrison and Andy.
Is that what people look up? Is there a website they
can... Oh, yeah, you can go on iTunes and look that up. It literally is The Andy and Harrison Show featuring Harrison and Andy.
All right.
But we shorten it to The Aha Show. See what we did there?
Is there a website for it as well?
Yeah, it's not like a real website. You got to go to like my... It's like www.cooksucks.com/The Aha Show. TheAhaShow. But let me warn you guys... It is a very explicit show, and we don't really talk about toys or nerd stuff. We talk about a lot of poop stuff, a lot of wiener stuff.
We talk about a lot of poop stuff.
A lot of poop stuff. Like, that's our show, and it's not even the greatest show. It's not that funny. It's not interesting. I don't know.
So you run cooksucks.com?
Yeah,
is that with the toy reviews where the dude's always like, I don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like anything, but yet I buy everything. There's something wrong.
It's a good viewpoint. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, so what's, like, I'll look at a toy when you review something.
Yeah.
Generally, I'm like, all right, well, I thought it was pretty good. What's the stuff with it I probably missed?
Yeah.
I actually found it very helpful with the Fig Arts greeds.
Oh, yeah?
Because no one really talks about those for some reason. Everyone was excited about them, and I don't know a lot of people who got them.
Oh, no, they're fantastic. Yeah. I think it's mostly because I buy everything, and I'm, like, really backlogged now. I haven't done...
That happened. That's why I stopped pre-ordering Fig Arts.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not even actually And, I mean, you don't really, like, you can play with fig arts. It's a weird word to use for them. But I was at one point, the point when I stopped was that I was like, I have gotten 5 fig arts, and all I did was open the box to make sure nothing was broken.
I haven't even done that yet.
And I think I told you, right? You should do that. Because if you've been buying them, you got to open it within 60 days to at least see anything's missing.
Oh, I've paid the price plenty of times with AmiAmi, but for...
Especially with AmiAmi.
Oh, I can't do anything about it. I just have a mountain of toys, and I just don't have time to go through it. And the thing is for me, is I want to go into, if I'm going to do a review, I want to go into it with the most unbiased viewpoint possible. So when I open it, that's when I actually start taking notes and stuff like that, versus... Mm. Okay, I've played with this for a month. I'm going to go back to it and then talk about it, because then your views can change.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's just whatever comes out first. And yeah, I might like it over time, but my first impression is my first impression.
Yeah.
That's essentially how I go at
it. Well, I kind of like it also for, and this is a weird reason, mm-hmm. I like the idea that, because you have, you know, connections with some shops, I like the idea of reviews that have connections to shops that can be, like, brutally critical of the item. Because to me, that's a great example of this isn't a big, like, it can be pretty cheesy and pretty swindly and weird, this whole business. Yeah. But it's great to have an example of, like, hey, here's someone who's affiliated with things who will say something's not good.
Oh, yeah. The perfect example is... what did I do? I did this review for the X-Transbot glider, the power glider.
Yeah, yeah.
I hated them off the bat. And I got those as, like, a review sample, whatever, from the store. You could probably see it if you go to my website. But I hated it. I was not afraid to talk about how much I hated it. And I was like, hey, sorry, but, dude, this is how it is. But I will say one thing. There was one instance where I can't say who or what.
Never can.
Yeah. they were like, well, we got an early shipment of this in, and we'd like to sell this before the... Like, they had airmailed it, so they wanted to get rid of those at, like, a premium price before the ship sale or the ship shipment came in. And I was like, well, I'm not going to bend the truth just so you can sell this stuff.
Mm.
So it was one of those dilemmas where it's like, okay, how much do I really do here? And, you know, luckily enough, the toy was awesome, so I didn't have to do anything.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I like talking about this because I find a lot of people don't talk about this, but when you do toy reviews or any product review, to the point where you are now hooked up with either, you know, a shop who wants to, you know, create a relationship of traffic or a manufacturer who wants to create word of mouth about their product, you know, the big question that's always there is your review tainted by the methodology by which you obtain the figure? And I always maintain it is. And you know, for better or for worse, because either, you know, you are just dead shilling a toy, or you're thinking about the fact that you might be dead shilling it, and that is affecting, no matter, even if you're fully honest, you've had this taint of like, of I don't want to dead shill this, like, if you, something that one might notice whenever I've done reviews of the Mastermind Creations, steampunk things, the Hard to Steal ones,
which were fun, by the way.
People might not agree with me, but I am way more nitpicky than usual in those because I'm like, I have to find a fault in this because this was provided to me for feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
I must find something that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
For every one or two things, I find something that's right. And some of the things in there that I call out are the most, like, anal.
Yeah. But you know what, though? That's the thing for me. I point out, like, the most anal things mostly because why talk about something that's perfect. I mean, if it's perfect already and it's something that they already understand, you don't have to waste time telling them on it. And it's like,
But I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm a positive person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I end up at the end, I'm like, you know, I had problems with this, this, and this, but the construction overall was so good, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I truthfully feel that way about those Mastermind things. There was an expose that Pogostal did about reviewer samples, which I don't think made the rounds enough. It was primarily people who do written reviews.
Yeah, I think I saw this. What was it?
It was like the only video people in there I recall were Pixel Dan and Collection DX.
Mm-hmm.
And Collection DX is, you know, half video, half written.
Yeah.
Really cool set of articles that I feel did not get nearly enough attention because so many people, you know, are not, you know, accusing anyone, but people are always thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
And especially with Pixel Dan as a great example, because the guy's got this tight relationship with Mattel.
Yeah.
That I thought his article was the most interesting, because here's someone who is under the most critical eye all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a conversation I think more people should be having.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't had to deal with that stuff very much in the past, I don't know, I want to say 6 months, because I've just been so busy. I haven't even really been updating my site anyways. Like, I've been doing maybe one or two reviews a month. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where when you kind of slack off, no one's going to offer anything anyway. So, it's not a problem. But, you know, I know where you're coming from. No matter what, there's always something that you have to think about, whether or not you want to, and it's going to be there. But
I just think it's personally, I find it to be a really interesting challenge, because to me it makes me want to think more about the thing I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So that, you know, whatever it is I say, however it may be challenged, I can say, well, I put 100% thought into what I wrote before I recorded what I said. So.
Oh yeah, and your reviews are like way more polished than me. Mine is like a cliff notes. Oh,
but yours are written, though. I mean, it's apples and oranges, technically.
Oh, no.
Because I looked at my scripts, and I was like, you can't... I couldn't post these as written reviews, because I format them so that I can read them out loud.
Yeah.
That means that the use of commas and periods is a mess. Because when I want to put in a natural pause so I can, like, mentally pause the thing...
Ellipses.
I throw commas in. So my sense is they have like 15 commas in them sometimes.
Oh.
I'm like, because if they don't have commas in them, I might start like jumping ahead too much.
Because
sight reading, I'm still not super good at. But
it's because you have an elementary school education.
I know. Me and my kindergarten certificate.
Kindergradian.
Yo, I made a really good Tyrannosaurus Rex out of that Play-Doh.
Did you?
Nah.
Oh.
But when I was in kindergarten, I did have a really sick red sweatshirt that had a big T-Rex on the front.
What?
This is way pre-Jurassic Park, so it was just a cartoony green, like, argh.
Here, I'm going to give you a fact of the day, Vangelis and WTF and TFW. I've never owned a shirt with a dinosaur on it in my life.
You know.
Bam.
Stylin' Online is here.
Yeah.
I bet you they have a shirt with a dinosaur on it.
Wait. I take that back. I have a shirt with Grimlock on it, but that doesn't count, right?
What mode is he in?
Robot mode.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. I'm like a pure Tyrannosaurus Rex. Don't own it. Never owned it.
Grimlock in alt mode, I would say, passes.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But
it's got to be a T-Rex.
Honestly, I don't even like to have clothes with Transformer stuff on it.
You should get like a Hawaiian shirt with anime Megatron on it. And, like, T-Rex Grimlock on the sleeve.
Why do I feel like somebody's had that stuff before?
Because that was a big thing in the mid-2000s.
Oh, my God. I never got into it. I should.
That was back when... Okay, I don't know if this is accurate, but as far as I know, I thought up one day in high school, why don't I put on a T-shirt and then put on a collared short-sleeve shirt over top of it as a windbreaker kind of thing?
Yeah. Right?
That suddenly became a big fashion after I invented it.
Wait, so you're talking about... A short-sleeved collared button-up or a polo?
Yeah, polo. Like, no, a short-sleeved normal T-shirt, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, not a polo, but, you know, like one of these, but short-sleeved.
Yeah.
So put that on over top.
You're talking about...
Leave a button open.
You invented the layered look.
As far as my universe is concerned, I thought of it, and then within months, I saw it everywhere.
Hmm.
And I was like, did I just happen to have the idea at the same time as
you're
everyone?
You're ground zero.
Oh, man.
For the... Double layered look.
Yeah, which I grew really sick of seeing after a couple of years.
Yeah, thanks to you, people don't even want to look like James Dean anymore with a single T-shirt.
Yeah, everyone wants to wear layers.
Yeah,
but you know why? Because a layer smooths you out.
You know what? Here's something that I think I invented, and I'm ashamed that I invented. I think I did the double collar, the double popped collar.
Oh.
I did that once, out of an accident. And I just kept on doing it for that day. And then, I don't know if it was months later, but I saw it. I saw it around.
I saw a tweet. I forgot who it was. I think it might have been Mike Chris from TFCon. I call him Mike Chris because he's mine.
Yeah.
And he found a picture of... I forgot if it was him or someone else, but it was a picture of a guy with like 15 pop collars.
Oh my gosh.
And sent it to Proto Man.
Did he also have lanyards for each collar?
No, it was just a bunch of pop collars. But, you know, Proto Man always has a pop collar.
He does.
And so they sent it to him, going, like, why don't you just do this, to, you know, just play the whole game at once. Hmm. And then Proto Man said, yeah, and just strip one layer off every day. And I was like, that would be the worst thing. Because that means the bottom layer's on you the entire time. So you're stripping away all the clean layers to this increasing funk that's clinging to your body.
It's a Russian Matryoshka doll, which needs to be the other way around.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so far, I mean, no one's here.
Yeah.
But we're doing pretty good for human smell.
Oh, well, honestly, I don't think so.
Really?
In the custom class, I've smelled some funk. And it's the custom class. It's the first thing on the calendar. How does that happen?
Okay, here's... I don't want to be devil's advocate, but
yes.
One idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing on the calendar on the first day. Maybe everyone just got there, and they were all so scared of that deadline, the they plane? Just ran over... Yeah, maybe they all came in, and they were all so spooked by the deadline, that we're going to close the door deadline, they just ran straight there.
I showered, though, and I had to do that drive. I still showered.
A plane can put a funk back. I had to shower after I showered this morning.
That's true, but you were struggling in a freaking tiny cubicle bathroom.
I was sweating while I did that. That would have added a whole other layer.
Yeah, but that's
if I was slick and there was, like, you know, sweat dripping on me.
like a wet sausage.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Okay, I'm just going to lay out a blanket statement here. Generally, I don't sweat when I use the washroom.
Wait, I'm sure people do.
I'm sure people do, but I don't.
Because
I can't imagine what that would, like, I mean, that would just be so uncomfortable.
It's the Asian side. The Asian side doesn't sweat that much.
Well, the Chinese side can sweat.
Really?
Pretty well, due to heat,
it can sweat. Oh, no. I'm kidding. I sweat a lot, too. That's why I always take my shirts off.
You do that a lot.
But that's because it's hot. It's not because I like taking my shirt off.
Yeah.
Honestly, I hate sweating.
It's pragmatic.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Stupid heat.
San Diego, not that hot, so... cut the shirtless Asian jokes, guys.
Oh, are you coming in here to lay down the law? You had enough?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You're tired of the word nipple?
But if it is hot, I'm not afraid to take it off.
There is a really nice couple of swimming pools.
Yeah.
This resort.
That's and awesome.
Hey, I wish I'd known that this is one of those times where it really bites me in the ass that I don't do my research on the hotel.
Yeah.
Because I usually assume, it's just going to be a big block attached to a block, and I'm going to be inside both blocks.
Yeah, next to an ice rink.
This is a resort. There's multiple... swimming pools.
Yeah,
it's beautiful outside.
Yeah,
there's great photography spots everywhere.
You know what it is lacking though? A blue water slide.
That's true. Well, that's the TFCon will always have that advantage.
Ah, man, I miss that water slide. I miss Silas.
Just in general. You should watch the BotCon 2012 videos I put up.
I've been meaning to.
The one called The Interviews, it opens like an eight-minute video with Silas.
Oh, yeah?
And he is so tired.
Is that the one with the Ampere 3?
That's the vlog.
Oh, that's the vlog one.
The one called The Interviews actually is Silas on the thumbnail. It's him really far away looking like...
Like how he... Dude, that was a perfect impression of him.
Don't tell him that.
Yeah, there you go.
It's because I've been watching his interview footage over and over again while I was editing it. I've watched more Silas than Silas has ever seen of himself.
Oh my gosh, you should just grill your hair out, and then you're going to have to wear a Little Mermaid Hawaiian shirt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nerds! I can't do his voice. There was a beautiful point in there where he called me Internet Celebrity Evangelist, which was the old 2007 in-joke.
Yeah,
and I said, that's not my name. And he goes like, it's not. But I can't do the voice he did.
Yeah.
It was this beautiful,
It's like a sad...
It was sad, but it wasn't like sad about the situation. It was sad about me. Like, he was disappointed in me. I was like, oh man, I feel like so small.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're coming up on an hour, so this seems like a good time to cut this.
Yeah.
You're going to go probably try to pick up your stuff.
Oh, yeah, my package.
Yep.
I got to do
big,
that.
Big windowed package.
And then you're probably going to take care of this business.
Yeah, I'm going to slap this together, stick it up, then I'm going to go hit up the Captured Prey parts room and the Megamist parts room because they each have half of SG Box Bomber, and I want SG Box Bomber.
Oh, shit. Maybe I'll join you afterwards.
Yeah,
might as well since I'm here.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, thanks for listening, everyone. The podcasts from BotCon from now on are probably going to have a lot less poop in them and a lot more Transformers.
If I'm gonna be involved.
Oh, yeah, we always got to have the Andy in the room.
Yeah,
but I want to record some every damn here. So this is going out for all of you guys who just want to hear a couple of dudes chatting about pooping on airplanes.
Mm-hmm. BotCon 2013,
pooping on airplanes.
Pooping on airplanes.
Yeah, we're gonna be back tomorrow. I don't know how we're gonna do things because I'm the only podcaster that's here. So yeah. I'm gonna do a whole lot, especially Friday. Yeah. I'm just gonna wander around with this thing and stitch it together at the end of the day. Mm. That's what I'm thinking.
You know what you should do? You should stick it out of your pants and then have people talking to it.
Subtle.
Yeah. That fuzz really helps.
Oh man. I was even thinking about that. Horribly, just slice that off. All right, good night, everyone.
Matt.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.